Which burpee technique is fastest in a Hyrox race? And how many burpees do you actually need to do in a Hyrox race? Those questions are well and good and all, but let's be honest, you didn't come here just for burpees, although some of you might have done. The real question we're going to be answering is how you are going to get involved with the next Roxzone podcast challenge in Berlin.
You saved it with the last question there, Max.
I did. Save the best for last. But anyway, those are the questions we're going to be diving in today. So without further ado, 3, 2, 1, Roxzone in.
Roxzone in. So we're missing Nathan this week, aren't we, Max?
Yeah, and Ben for that matter. It's quite a depleted team today.
Yeah. Sadly, you've just got, you, the rock star, and me, the sort of also ran. But yeah. But the good news is that doesn't mean we haven't put Nathan to work, because he's been buried deep in the stat cave. And he's come up with some info on the brand new center equipment. Okay. So for anyone who's missed it, Center is the new equipment provider for Hyrox races, and so far we've seen the new gear used in America only. So that was at the North American Open Championships and in Florida for a race. So we wanted to know, or actually I heard this on another podcast that I thought was a really great question, if the new equipment has made any difference to race times.
Wait, what do you mean you've heard it on a different podcast? It seems like a very intuitive question. New gear, what does that mean in terms of time? Like, yeah, sure, feel and look and aesthetic, but just let's cut to the chase. Does it make you go quicker? Does it make you go slower?
Exactly. I mean, I just thought, we've got a stat guy on our team, and I was like, let's put him to work and find out if it's true.
Sure. I just don't want to give another podcast credit where there's none due.
Fair play. And actually, why don't we gas up our podcast? So we spoke to James Kelly, who's in the Elite 15 the other week, and he gave us this review, just to remind you, on the equipment.
Let's talk about the unveiling of the center equipment. What did you think? Did it make a difference?
Oh man, I really want to kind of like scare everyone here and go, oh my God, you have no idea.
Please do.
But like, the sled was the sled, and the sled rope pull was the sled rope pull.
Okay.
It was exactly how a sled push and pull felt with old equipment.
Fair enough.
Right?
Okay. You know what? I think that's a t-shirt slogan if I've ever seen one. The sled was the sled.
The other thing that we enjoyed from that conversation, though, was JK talking about how the rope girth has changed and it's slightly thinner now.
Who could forget that stimulating piece of conversation? And God, did we have a chuckle about that?
did we just? So bringing the tone more in line, Nathan has actually run the numbers on the center equipment.
Okay.
So JK anecdotally says he didn't think it made a difference. Let's find out if it has. Mm-hmm. Nathan's figured it out. Here's what Nathan's got to say.
All right, boys, I crunched the numbers. First of all, looking at Florida. And what I did is I looked at the average times across all the stations for the open men and open women, and saw how quick was average times with respect to all the other races so far this season. And we have had 37 events so far. So what I was looking for was anything which stood out as being particularly quick or particularly slow. And what I noticed is for the sled push, the open men were the third fastest this season by average time, with a time of 2 minutes 28, about 30 seconds quicker than the season average. And the women were the quickest this season, with an average time of an amazing 2 minutes 14, about 40 seconds quicker than the season average. And when Hyrox saw this, they were like, whoa, what's going on? They rang up center. They said, what are these sleds? Sort it out. So by Washington, they had sorted it out. And for the men, it was the ninth fastest so far this season. And the woman in 27th place. So we're on the slower end of races so far this season for the sled push. So they really sorted out the sleds then. And then one station which really stood out as being slow in both Washington and Florida for both the men and the women was the row. So again, Hyrux were like, whoa, they rang up Senta, said, what's going on with the rowers? And Senta said, the rowers are still Concept 2 machines, nothing to do with us. So I don't know why they were slow. All the other stations, nothing else particularly stood out. They were like middle of the pack. So make of that what do you will. What do you guys think?
Well, Nathan, you know what I think? You've been practicing your showmanship, and I think you were so excited that you forgot to breathe. I'm going to be completely honest. Despite Nathan's best efforts to bring more enthusiasm to his delivery, it kind of distracted from the message that he's trying to give.
I was trying to follow it.
So what actually happened? That the sled push was fast, and then they rectified it, and it wasn't so fast.
I think that's what he said. Yeah. So I think overall there doesn't seem to be any difference. The only point that he was making was about the rowers being slightly different between races, but they're still Concept 2 rowers, so that's meaningless data.
I thought that was quite an interesting point. Yeah, you know what? I think Nathan was so happy that he'd been practicing and was so happy and enthusiastic. He thought, you know what? I'm going to throw another point in there for good measure, even though it has no relevance to this at all. So, I'm not sure I have much of commentary on the content, more of the delivery. Great. Okay. Well, I think at that point, let's close the stats and let's talk Berlin.
So, Max, on the note of Berlin, did you catch the last episode with Gede when she dropped the Hyrux Berlin bombshell?
I did. I was not going to miss that episode. I was really, really looking forward to seeing what Ben and Gede could do when they were gelling off each other's energies. And it didn't disappoint. I thought it was a great episode. And what a great guest Gede is. I just, you know. But of course, what she said was that the running would partially be outside.
That and that it was going to be one lap as well.
Ah, yes, you're right. She did mention that. And you know what? It will all make sense. It's kind of making sense now because my job as resident German was it to, albeit knowing nothing about Berlin, to, of course, do some research and get the people even more excited about this new race venue. And I have a couple of things that I'd like to talk through, starting with my incredibly detailed and thorough venue analysis, which was the extent of going onto Google Maps for a few minutes and seeing what I could do on Street
View. I wouldn't expect anything less from you, Max.
Well, what I saw with my own eyes through Google's cameras is that it is the perfect venue to be racing outside. So it is one huge circular hangar with loads and loads and loads of concrete, very Berlin-esque, surrounding it. So it's just a whole big flat straight, as you'd expect from an airport, an old abandoned... Oh, sorry, did I mention it's an old abandoned airport? I don't think I actually ever mentioned that.
Right.
You can react to that.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. For reals, a former... No, that is cool. Sorry, I'm taking the piss, but that does sound quite cool, actually. Yeah. I'm just deciding if outdoors is good or not. I feel like I'm worried about the wind. I'm worried about the temperature. Is it cold in Berlin on the 20th of April? Please, can you inform me, well, fellow German man?
Well, it is April, right? So I'm hoping the temperatures won't be sub... freezing. However, from a non-athletic point of view, I think it's great. It sounds super exciting. Anything that changes...
I mean, it does sound cool.
Yeah, anything that changes the status quo of what a Hyrux race is, I'm all there for, you know? If we had to run through a jungle or like climb a tree halfway through because we're doing it in a forest, I'd be the first one to sign up for that. from an athletic point of view, then the elements, the harsh elements of Berlin will, of course, be a fact you need to take into account. However, let me paint the scene a little bit more, okay? I then did some historical research about what this place actually is. And my God, was I swamped with cool information. And I'm not going to go through all of this. Like, I've just hand-selected a few things, but something off the top of my head that I saw, it's called Tempelhof, which comes from the Knights Templar. So somehow it's related to the Knights Templar, which I just thought instantly sounds really cool.
Nice.
But in Ode to Ben, I thought this fact that I read online perfectly surmises what location we are going to be racing at. Tempelhof Airport, main building, was once among the 20 largest buildings on Earth, but it also formerly contained the world's smallest duty-free shop. You know, if the first piece of information wasn't irrelevant enough, I love the fact that they then followed it up with, it also had a really tiny shop in it.
Hopefully there's a memorial there to remind you.
Commemorate it. Yeah. So I'm not sure I'm doing this proper justice, but I'm excited for this. The idea of it being one huge hangar formerly within the world's top 20 largest buildings, which means you do one lap, and it's somehow also outside, and it's all in this like really brutalist backdrop of concrete. I mean, come on, man, I'm here for it. It sounds like this is where Hyrox is supposed to be raced, right?
Yeah.
And on top of that, it is, of course, in Berlin, which is one of the most alternative cities in the world, dare I say, and also home to a rather prominent underground raving techno scene, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, unless you live under some form of rock, I would say, you've probably heard about the nightclub called Berghain.
Yeah. Do you want to explain what that is to anybody who's not heard about it?
Well, you know, I'm saying you're an idiot and live under a rock if you've never heard of it. But truth be told, I don't know a huge amount past that. It's a techno club, and it gained in prominence around the world because you would sometimes, without really knowing how or why, be led into what you thought was the entrance, only for it to be like a side door to the street because they didn't want you in the club. So you needed to be extra alternative, or maybe not alternative at all, maybe a celebrity, maybe not a celebrity. Like, it seemed to change as the weather does as to what the criteria were to get into this nightclub, right? And that got me thinking.
Yeah.
I think it's only appropriate to go to Berlin and race as a Berliner. And in my mind, a Berliner, of course, can only be someone who goes to Berghain. So I'm thinking people that are like dressed top to toe in like leather trench coats, or like, you know, fishnet tank tops, all with sunglasses on, like raved, frosted, spiky tipped hair. And they're fully there for the rave scene. You know, they get there at 2, maybe 3 a.m. and then they stay there until about 4 p.m. the next day, you know. And if you leave early, well, mate, don't even bother coming back because you're just weak sauce, right? So without drawing this out any further, it is not just myself who is going to be racing in this, or at least I hope not.
Right.
Let me clarify. I hope not, because I have convinced Hyrox to give us not one, but two relay spots.
Right.
Under the condition that we show up and race in Berghain, Berlin, Hyrox outfits. That's how I'm going to go with BBH, Berlin, Berghain, Berlin, Hyrox outfits, BBHO. There we go.
Nice.
So if this weird dialogue, or mainly monologue, that me and Mikey are leading here is of any way interesting to you, here is our offer to you. If you would like to join me in Berlin, wherever you're from, wherever you're listening to this to, you don't need to be in the UK or Germany, come from wherever you want in the world and want to partake in this, there's a free relay ticket waiting for you with your name on it.
Wow. What an offer. So what are we saying for the criteria then, Max? How are we picking our relay team? Like,
well, if previous experiences are anything to go by, people are actually pretty mad for Hyrox. Let's cast our minds back to January, where I was looking for a replacement for Nathan. And we actually had loads of people wanting to fill in for a pro double spot, right? So let's try and be ambitious and let's try and be bold and say that it's not as simple as just raising your hand and saying, I'd like to participate.
Yeah.
I would like people to message us at RoxOwnPod to say, one, they're keen and they want to come to Berlin, but also give me an overview of what outfit they would be willing to wear and bring to the table. Okay. That's it. It's pretty simple. All I need is an outfit. What are you going to wear on the day?
Can I add in that they need to send us a voice note, but in a German accent as well? And I'm excited to hear German accents from all over the world.
That's true. No, you know what? We'll say, because I'm genuinely worried no one's gonna want to do this. We'll say that if you are selected and you're put
so
on the short
list, we're lowering the bar that, now. Just anybody who gets in touch, they can.
No. I do need to know what your outfit
very
is.
Very low bar.
No. I'm incessant that the outfit does need to be described, and then if your outfit is deemed worthy, you will be invited on the shortlist like we've done in previous podcasts, where we'll ask you to present to the panel in a German accent what your outfit is. As an example, hello, my name is Maxi and I would like to race as part of the RoxOwn relay team. My outfit will be a long black leather trench coat and my hair, not in a bun, but a ponytail, finished off with some Karl Lagerfeld-esque sunglasses. Thanks.
That sounded very professional. That's what I really enjoyed about that.
Okay, it doesn't need to be that professional. I hope that's clear. And I look forward to welcoming many, or hopefully just any, messages on at RoxOwnPod to join us for the relay team. Bear in mind, I've got 7 spaces up for grabs here, okay? So there's plenty to be going around. Okay, we initially wanted to call this episode Burpees Berlin and Berghain. However, we've never actually referenced that. So in any case, we're going to speak about burpees, okay? we need some kind of fitness relevance to this.
Yeah.
So we also needed to come up with some content about burpees on that matter. So here it is.
Yay! How do we crowbar through it?
quite simply by saying, what is the best burpee?
nice, smart.
Or let's flesh it out a little bit. What is the best / fastest technique for the burpees?
Yeah.
And there's, in my mind, there's two main techniques that are commonly used. And that is, one, the classic bunny hop technique, which is the one you'll see Hunter McIntyre do. The other technique, which I think is far more widely used, is the classic step-up technique, where you lie on the floor and then either with your left or right foot, step as far forward, as close or even beyond your hands, if you're flexible enough, to start the forward motion and the rise of the burpee.
Yeah.
So those are the two techniques, I think, that we're going to be debating today.
Yeah, that's right. So I think one question that I wanted to answer before we got into the opinions on technique was particularly perhaps a really important one, which is, on average, how many burpees do you need to complete in a Hyrox race? So on average, how many burpees does it take to travel 80 meters?
That is a really good question, actually.
Yeah.
Because just by complete chance, I was speaking to a colleague today of mine who was quite interested about Hyrox. And she said, burpees is one of the stations. How many do I need to do? And then I said, no, it's not how many. It's you need to do a distance of 80 meters. However, yeah. it might actually be quite useful to know how many there are. And I, in fact, before we reveal the exact answer, because I know, Mikey, you're going to be playing a voice note from Nathan in a minute.
Yeah.
My guess is,
of course,
that it's somewhere around like 35 to 40. Because I reckon you cover around 2 meters yeah. per jump. So I'm gonna go with 35. That's my best guess.
Yeah, I'd probably go a little bit higher, but I think you're right. It's probably half the distance. So yeah, 40, I'd say. Okay. Roughly. So anyway, here he is. Na 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 stat man. Nath.
Na 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 stat man. Yes, I do have the answer, but before I tell you the answer, just want to clarify, I have been counting burpees. And I say that because at Manchester, in the end of the day, I was talking to Jess, who works at High Rocks, and when she asked me what I've been up to, I said I've been counting burpees, and she thought I said I was counting boobies. I don't know why she thought that. Anyway, it's burpees that I've been counting, and I've been counting them in Manchester, London, and Milan. And so far, I counted 35 individuals or pairs doing their burpees. Not a great sample size, but better than nothing. And here are the numbers. The average amount of burpees it takes an individual or a double to complete for 80 meters is 43, with the minimum I've counted being 32 and a maximum being 58. Producer Mikey, he in London did his burpees in 36 burpee broad jumps. So there you go, guys. What do you make of that?
Wow. I didn't realize he counted mine.
Well, what I'd like to say is what I noticed is that you'd clearly heard this voice note before, Mikey.
So when I asked you
what your guess, well, you said no, stat man, and then it just so happens that Nathan did the exact same intro to himself in his voice note. So,
well,
I'm not sure about your guess. And then it suspiciously was slightly more than half, like bang on. No, I don't know about that. But okay, fine. So what did he say? 43 was the average. Let's round that to a nice even number, 40. So what I said there wasn't far off. If you're burpeeing for 80 meters of burpee broad jumps, that means you're doing roughly half of that in terms of repetition.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. That's good to know.
Yeah, exactly. So
actually, sorry, Mikey, just before we move on, that could be a really useful piece of information when you are racing in an event where there's just one really long stretch of burpees where mm-hmm. you don't really know where you stand, like how far am I into this? If you are like me, who's able and like kind of processes the trauma of the difficulty of a high rocks by counting reps, you might be able to like count in tens and know, right, okay, that's a quarter done, check, next quarter 10 or something like that. That could be quite good to know.
Definitely. I think even if you're not doing a long stretch, just knowing, okay, so there's, you know, if you say it was split in two, you know, it's roughly 20 burpees, you could maybe even break it down into fives or something like that, so that you kind of like sort of pace yourself a bit, like the wall balls, you know, kind of maybe take approach with that sort of technique perhaps.
Yeah. And then of course you get absolutely obliterated and demoralized when you've done your 40 burpees and you realize, oh shit, I've got about 6 left until the finish line.
Yeah. You would be devastated, wouldn't you?
You would be in your mind like, yes, I've done it. And you look up and you've got another like 10 meters to go. Oh no. So yeah, make of that suggestion what you want.
Exactly. Right. Okay. So now we know how many burpees, let's talk about technique, right? So personally, I always like to start with looking at the elites to see what they're doing when it comes to technique. So I do that for anything. Like I was talking, I think, in the last episode where I watched the elites, how they do the sled pull, and I kind of sort of have adopted a bit of that in my sort of race. But you'll be pleased to know, you'll like this, Max. So I channeled my inner Nath and I watched the recent Elite F15 majors in the US and Vienna on the live stream again. I rewatched it.
Wow.
And I made a note of everyone's technique and who was the fastest in the burpees across all the elites.
Wow. I mean,
are you proud?
That is a nerd if I've ever seen one.
I know.
Yeah, I am proud. I am proud of you. Yes, I am proud of you.
Good. Well, do you want to know what I found?
No, I'm sorry. I'm just not that interested. No, please. Of course. Right. Well, what if I had genuinely cut you? You know, you did all this preparation, but what if I genuinely said no? I don't want to hear it. What then?
I would have just carried on talking anyway. So, to be fair,
which you're going to do anyway, now.
Yeah. But the funny thing is after looking at everyone's technique and seeing who was different, it turns out everyone did the step technique.
Ah.
Hyrox, US Major, and Vienna. So all of the elites are doing the step technique. So I then went in.
Wow.
So
this is where I didn't think that. That is cool. Okay.
Yeah. And this is where it gets even more nerdy. So then I went like even further back in the season to watch more of the major races. And I got to Stockholm.
Wow.
And again, everyone does the step technique except for Hunter McIntyre. So he is literally the only one who opts for the bunny hop technique. And when I looked at everyone's race times, everyone's basically sort of the same sort of time. So it even doesn't appear that the different techniques make too much of a difference.
That I would not have thought that.
Yeah.
The bunny hop technique is known amongst the community because Hunter McIntyre does it. I would have thought there's some crazy fit people that actually adopt it. So I would have thought the Elite 15 are the first people to try that. So the fact that no one's doing that, crazy. The only thing that I would add to that is the step technique has a few variances, or like there's two variants that I can think of.
It does. Yeah. Go on. Tell me the ones you've seen, because I think I've seen a third version that you might not have seen.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to say, I don't really want to tell you because I know you've done your homework and you're so excited to tell everyone, but fine. If I can tell you two variants and you can like bring it home and blast this segment out of the water with a fantastic new discovery, then I'll set you up for this. So the first variant, it's very much as you would expect a step up burpee to happen. You would be lying on the floor, you would step up with either your left or your right foot, putting it as close as possible to one of your hands, and then you would match it with your trailing foot, stand up, and then from a standing start you would jump forward, so it's almost broken down into the actual stepping up bit and then the jumping bit. They're two separate movements as such. And then the more advanced version is when you would step up, and then your trailing foot would come and very briefly match your leading foot, but you're not actually standing up and you're kind of using the step that you've done as momentum to propel yourself further forward in the jump, if that makes sense. So it's kind of one fluid motion. You're lower to the floor. You're not wasting any more energy than necessary by standing up, and you're also using the momentum that you're getting from stepping up.
Yeah.
So those are the two variants that I can think of.
Yeah. I mean, I totally agree with you, but that also wasn't really what I was talking about when I noticed different techniques. So shall I tell you what I meant? Okay. So I'm talking about the different ways people bring their feet to their hands. So imagine you've done the burpee, so you're in the chest to floor position, and then you're bringing your feet towards your hands ready for the jump, right? So there is the kind of like just get up and step sort of slow sort of movement. That's sort of one. Another one is almost like a little bit of a pop where you kind of like sort of jump your leg forwards a little bit off the floor. So it's more of a bit of a spring off the floor to bring your step forward. Lauren Weeks does that, and that seems to be like the fastest way to do it. But of course it uses up a lot of energy and stuff like that. Another one I've seen, and I've seen the elites do this as well, is you almost crawl on your knees and you bring your feet towards your hands. So you sort of, you don't sort of bounce up off the floor. You crawl on your knees and bring your feet to your hands. And then the final version.
Oh, sorry. The on top of the bonus third one, we're getting an even further bonus fourth. Wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you're really lucky. You can do the PMF technique. Our favorite guy on the pod. So the PMF technique is where he sort of goes into almost like a downward dog, and then he runs his feet towards his hands, and then he jumps again. So he almost does like multiple steps to bring his feet forwards to his hands.
You know what? This man, if he didn't already deserve an entire episode dedicated to him, he's certainly earned it now. We just need to get this guy on the show. There's just so many things that he does differently to the rest of the field. Yeah. And I'm curious. I want to go to the school of PMF. I want to learn how to be a Spanish gardener and also an elite hierarchy. Oh no! What have we got?
we have got something from PMF. Ready, talking about the technique. All right.
Yes.
Hello, friends from Roxanne Podcast. Here, PMF, and today's topic, I think it's about burpees. So I'm going to share my best tips to improve this exercise and my best technique. Tips as well. So the first thing you should do is to practice as many burpees as possible. For example, I do burpees at any time of the day, but the best ones are those that you do when you wake up. If you wake up every day and you go to the bathroom doing burpees, you will notice a great improvement. No, just kidding. It was not true. My wife would ask for a divorce. Burpees are an exercise that is done usually with a high level of fatigue, so I recommend incorporating a session of running and burpees once a week to get used to stabilize the heart rate during the exercise. So this is one of the main exercises or main training sessions of the week for me. And then on the other hand, the technique should be as efficient as possible. Yeah. Not all of us are like Hunter and can jump like frogs. For example, I jump back. But when I stand up, instead of taking a long step, I get into a yoga position, like an underdog yoga position, and I use my right foot to bring my left one up to the height, to the same level of my feet, and then the right one, and then from there I jump, taking advantage always of the momentum of the movement. I know it's hard to explain in words, but if you watch the Vienna broadcast, the technique is clear. And to me, it's very, very efficient. So that's all I have to say. And greetings and cheers, my friends.
I was equally relieved and disappointed that he doesn't wake up and burpee himself to the bathroom every morning. Yeah. Also, Just do you want to be any more Spanish? The way he says yoga, jugger. I love him, man. I you know what? That is not enough for me. I want a full episode with PMF.
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
No, it's happening. But yeah, do you think you'll try this sort of downward dog, sort of running your feet up to your hands technique? Maybe next time you're in a gym.
Well, I'm gonna have to.
Yeah,
I'm gonna
have
to.
When you wake up and do your early morning burpees, like you said.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not quite sure. There's a lot of turns that I'd have to do around the apartment, and it's only about 10 feet. So I'm not sure I'd get many burpees in, but you know, practice it at any time of day, right? Is what he said.
Yeah.
On a more serious note, I thought his advice about doing burpees and running once a week seemed very, very appropriate because of the whole heart rate situation. I do notice that in my own races, the heart rate goes through the roofs when you do burpees.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, comedy, insight, personality, charisma, all in one succinct voice note.
Exactly.
PMF, man.
Exactly.
You are just
and hopefully
some guy.
Hopefully keeping on that vibe, I thought, why not ask everyone's favourite Irish couple, Tom and Dina Hogan, as well? So I wanted to hear what they had to
Naturally.
Say on burpees as well.
Naturally.
And this is what they said.
So burpees, why are you giving this horrible exercise airtime? I have no idea. But anyway, here's my two cents. Classic bunny hop version or step up version. I would probably tell a lot of people, especially beginners, to go for a third version where they can actually use their knee. So if they come up on their knee first, then they're bringing their foot around, standing up, hop. down on the ground, knee up first again. You'll see David McGee doing this a lot, and what it'll do is it will slow your burpees down slightly per rep, but you'll get a slight break each time, and it will allow you to probably do the 80 meters continuously without the need for a 15 or 20 second break halfway through that. So overall, over the 80 meters, it would probably work out a small bit faster for most people.
Not as funny as I hoped, but now we know if you see
someone. Yeah, what the hell, Tom?
Now, you know, if you see someone doing the knee technique, that's been taught by Team Hogan. So there you go.
I'm struggling with this knee technique. You know, my knees are sensitive enough as they are, but the idea of dragging them along the carpet, you know what? I'm going to have to try all of this. You know what? I'm amazed as to how these standardized exercises, movement standards, should I say, still somehow have so much room for variance that you and I can have a bloody podcast segment.
I know. It's already got me thinking we need to go back into Planet Hyrox and deep in the Burmese jungle. We can see the baby crawl and the downward dog or something like that anyway, but you know.
Well, I mean, listeners, you've heard it. You know, hold Mikey to account. He needs to come back. You know, he's already teased way too much. He needs to come back. Like, right, there it is. Baby koalas or whatever it was crawling along the floor. That has to happen. Okay, have we got anything else on that? Or should we put burpees to bed?
I think we can put it to bed.
We can't actually put them to bed, Mikey, because it's time for community questions. Right, so burpees and continuing straight on with them. it's time for another round of community questions. And this week, you guessed it, it's about burpees. So for anyone that missed it, I put a call out on Instagram while I was on the driving range, no less. And I don't know why this thought popped into my head, but I just thought, what could you replace the burpee broad jump lane with? So to clarify and give you some context, I wasn't necessarily after any realistic answers like Ben might have done.
You could do it with a rubber compound because that would make it more grippy. No, I'm not after any of that bollocks. I'm specifically after nonsense answers such as what I suggested. I think it was a lane made of pillows so that you could have a little rest. But in any case, never mind what I say. Let's hear what the people of Hyrox have commented with. So here we go. Daffy D Sport comes in with the first one saying trampolines for easy far jumping and bouncing back up from the burpees. Yeah, naturally, yes. That's where your head would go. It's Ashley Lowe says sand, but it would have to be heated so it felt like you were on a tropical beach. I thought that was really sadistic at first, saying sand. That seems really horrible. But okay, I see where you're getting at. I see what you're getting at.
Yeah, actually, Zoe Joanne has also messaged us. She sent us a DM and she said gravel, so you get up quicker, which makes sense as well.
Why? Because it's so painful?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, just because it hurts and then you'd carry on moving quicker.
No, that's not what I was getting at. I was more on like, how can you make it easier for yourself?
Right.
Linda Cameron comes in with the next one saying, tumble track with bounce. Could you imagine? Is tumble track the stuff they use for gymnastics? The ones that makes you jump high?
I think so. Or is it?
I think it might be that.
Or is it like those bounce sort of bouncy treadmills? I don't know.
Either or, I like it because clearly she's trying to make it easier. Samantha says marshmallows. Mm-hmm, yeah, of course.
Definitely.
We've got little springs, we've got lava. Wow. someone comes in and says hot coals, what better encouragement to keep going as fast as possible. Man, that is,
it's getting more and more sadistic. God.
Giant bouncy castle jelly, yep, that's another good one. So God, like it goes in two ways. You're either thinking trampolines or some kind of springy device to propel yourself forward, or you're going really sadistic.
Yeah.
So Armageddon,
yeah,
one of our favorite contributors, comes in saying mid burpee broad jumps ? Shards of glass to distract me from the existential pain coursing through my soul. What? Okay.
Yeah.
I've got a couple more. Someone saying bubble wrap. I like that.
That'd be fun as well. I'd probably end up doing more burpees just to pop the bubble wrap.
No, but your time would slow down significantly. But you might have more fun doing it. Shark infested custard. That's very graphic. I'm quite like that. I'll leave it with this one. Okay. Paul McIntyre comes in with a one-word suggestion of boobs. Okay. You know what? Actually, I've changed my mind. We're not gonna leave it on that profanity. Stacey Bruni comes in with an original suggestion that says the airport flat escalators, so you keep moving down the lane whilst you lie on the floor.
Yes.
Comma, cause fuck BBJs. She just needed to add that in there at the end. That's great. I like that. Also, because on that logic, I wouldn't have to burpee at all. I could literally just lie down and have a rest. And you know what? I'd get there in the end. So yeah, that's the winner in my eyes. And I think that is burpees finally done with. Okay. And that puts us at the end of the episode again, unfortunately. Boy, oh boy, did the time fly by today talking about burpees and excruciating
detail.
How long
has this podcast been? Is it 3 hours?
Yeah, it feels like it. However, the important message for all of you to take away is BBOH. Yeah. Berlin Berghain Hyrox Outfits. I think I got it wrong there. The important message to take away is the Roxzone Berlin Relay Team Challenge. Would you like to be a part of it? If so, we'd love to have you. Send us a message on @RoxzonePod if you want to be part of what promises to be the coolest Hyrox race venue as a relay team. I think I got that right. Okay. One final favor that I'd also like to ask you is that if you've enjoyed this episode, then please do tell a gym buddy or share this episode in your fitness WhatsApp groups or whatever social media platforms you use to connect with like-minded Hyrox enthusiasts.
Indeed, yeah. I'm sure everyone can't wait to share our burpee content, which leads me on to saying thanks again for listening. We'll be back in the next episode when hopefully we'll have some responses to your Berlin Challenge, Max.
Hopefully.
And I'll be doing my best to come up with funny ways to discuss an even more thrilling topic of woobles. Bet you can't wait for that.
God. You know, that's incentive for everyone to message in so we can talk about race entries and give Mikey less time to talk about woobles. Oh my God. Okay. Well, I can't wait. I cannot wait to talk about woobles. On that note, 3, 2, 1, Roxzone thoroughly out.
Roxzone out.